Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may be, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Welcome back to hour two of the Todd Alba Show, along with Mr. Aaron Zomers, our producer, engineer, all-around great guy. On a Tuesday, the 13th of December 2022, and so we're going to head right into news and weather update. Get back to our guest this morning, Sean Murphy Lopez, Vice Chair of the Richland County Board, talking about the pending or announced closure of the Richland campus in Richland Center and what it means to the state of Wisconsin. We'll get back with him in just a moment. First of all, check of weather around our network of stations, WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, or WXCE in beautiful Amory. In the RC in southwest Wisconsin, expect cloudy skies, maybe some drizzle today. A high near 36 degrees. Then tonight, rain, lows of around 33. Wednesday, looks like rain mainly before 10 a.m., a high near 43 degrees. And could have an inch or maybe locally 2 inches of rain throughout southern Wisconsin in this system, so be aware of that. Moving up north, that's where things are going to get a little bit more dicey, north of Wisconsin Dells, specifically in Wausau today. Expect clouds and a high of 34 degrees. Tonight, low of around 28, snow showers move in. And then tomorrow is when everything breaks loose. Expect rain, snow, freezing rain. A tenth of an inch of ice is possible, up to 3 inches of snow in Wausau tomorrow, and then an additional 4 inches of snow tomorrow night. Winter storm watch in effect for our listeners in Wausau for tonight. Beautiful Amory, 34 degrees today. Rain and snow, kind of a mix. Expect less than half an inch of accumulation today. And then tonight into tomorrow, again, 1 to 3 inches of snow possible. Also, an additional half inch of snow on Wednesday in Amory. Driving conditions will be dicey at best in the northern two-thirds of Wisconsin tonight in through tomorrow night, so drive carefully if you're headed up that way. News headlines at this hour. For the first time, U.S. scientists have successfully produced a nuclear fusion reaction resulting in a net energy gain. The discovery would be a massive step and make it a decades-long quest for a new form of clean energy that could eventually power your house and help end dependence on fossil fuels. President Joe Biden today will sign into law a bill passed last week by Congress that mandates federal recognition for same-sex and interracial marriages. The White House is planning to mark the occasion with a ceremony built to a scale that it believes is fitting for the moment, with one official saying his plan is to simply, quote, go all out. This comes a little more than 10 years after Biden shocked the country with an unexpected declaration in support of same-sex marriage. The Securities and Exchange Commission charged Sam Bankman-Fried today with defrauding investors and customers in his failed crypto exchange FTX. The SEC said Bankman-Fried orchestrated a years-long fraud to conceal from FTX investors the diversion of customer funds to Alameda Research, his crypto trading firm. In World Cup news, there is a little sports. See, the 2022 World Cup semifinals kick off today, the highly anticipated match between Argentina and Croatia at 1. And says Argentina and its star player, Lionel Messi, are just 2 matches away from winning the country's first World Cup since 1986. But to make no mistake, Argentina will have its work cut out if it's going to reach the final. Again, 1 o'clock today, World Cup kicks off, and we'll have updates throughout the day on Civic Media. Getting back to our guest today, we are pleased to be joined this half hour again by Sean Murphy Lopez, the vice chair of the Richland County Board of Supervisors and also a member of the UW-Richland Friends of the Campus. Talking, Sean, before the break here at the top of the hour, a little bit about what happened yesterday, the Education Subcommittee, and coming out of that, a draft resolution that you so very kindly forwarded to me. And one of the things I'm just super impressed with is, again, what you all have laid out in a very deliberate way. And one of the, there's several whereases in this resolution, but you put it, the economic impact reports in 2006 and 2018 found the campus has had an estimated $7 million direct impact on the Richland County area and economy. And to me, I think as you are doing a great job in lobbying and building support, bipartisan support for this, you know, I had a I'm an alum Platteville. My communication professor used to come in and write a dollar sign on the board every day. And he said, it all comes down to that. You would think that regardless of political affiliation, everybody could understand a $7 million impact on the Richland County area.
Yeah, Todd, we still have 24 employees who work at the UW Richland campus. We have not absorbed the economic impact of lower school student enrollment yet. I mean, that's still going to hit our community. So, you know, the other thing, I look at our budget request of $4 million. If we had 400 students, you know, we're going to give the state a good return on their investment. I hear that the Richland School District gets 13 grand per student from the state. If my math is right, we'd be getting 10 grand per student from the state. That's our niche here. We can provide an affordable, geographically accessible higher education institution for working people. And I really think we could help UW-Madison. They have burgeoning student enrollment. They have a lot of small town kids who go to a big city and it's not a good fit for them. They could get their start over here. They could transfer here and then transfer back to a bigger university. So that's what we mean when we say we have a niche and we think we'd be in a better partnership with a university that's doing better than Platteville currently is. And I have a lot of friends at Platteville. Platteville's a great university. It's not the faculty and the students down there. Right now, it's the administration that we have an issue with.
Stay with us. Sean Murphy Lopez on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Todd Umwalt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Little Kenny Chesley there. Can't we all just get along? That's what we're trying to do, right? Just get along. Our communities need to get along. That's what we want to happen here. Sean Murphy Lopez, our guest this half hour, Vice Chair of the Richland County Board of Supervisors and a member of the UW Friends Campus Group in Richland Center. One of the things that's always fascinated me, Sean, as a former Republican, being in the closed rooms for so long and at rallies and whatnot, is this ongoing narrative of local control that you know, decisions are best made at home or closest to the people, which I fundamentally believe in. But in my last years working for Republicans, it seemed like less and less that was the case. The Republicans only believed in that when it was convenient for them. And I think this is a case in point, a real-life study, if you will, where local control is best. And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think rural people know best what they need. I don't think we need people in Madison telling us how we should educate our children out here. I think we have a good idea about how to do that. That's currently what they're doing. They're cooking up a plan in Platteville for what the future of our campus should be. They haven't even asked the community what their ideas are, let alone tell us about the process they're using to come up with that plan. So I think local control is extremely important to rural people. I also think rural people are some of the most fiscally wise people I know. You know, like I mentioned at the beginning, I grew up in a rural area. I come from a farm family. And when I look at the math here and I see that we can provide an education for students, if we get back up to our student enrollment of 400, which we had just 8 years ago, for $10,000 a student, that's cheaper than I guarantee probably almost any university in the system. It's cheaper than what the state gives to our local school district, our K-12 school district. So look at what they could be providing here. I think a lot of the people in Madison, what's happened to them is they've got too wrapped up into some of these partisan national debates about higher education. And I don't think they're actually looking at the facts. You know, they're just trying to close down campuses. That's their goal. They want to do that. But they're not actually looking at this actually helps their constituents. This helps working people, no matter whether it's their kids or it's someone who's an older adult like my mom was. She was in her 40s or 50s when she got her bachelor's degree. She lives in a very rural part of the Midwest. She wouldn't have been able to get to that education if it was too far away because she was working 40 hours a week, yeah, making a living. So that's why we want local control back. And even though I mentioned before the last break that UW-Madison might be a good fit for us, we really need local autonomy. Right. Yes, it'd be great to be tied with them, but we can't have this bloated bureaucracy that is currently, performing this heist with our campus in control of us. We need local control of our own campus.
In your presentation you put together for the, is this the one you sent to me, the PowerPoint, is that what the education committee came up with that's going to be shown tonight at the county board meeting, or what? Where is this going to go to?
This has had the hands of many community members, from many students, and from members of the education committee. And tonight it will go to the county board. So this presentation is attached to the resolution. If the resolution passes, the presentation will be going to Senator Mark Klein, Assemblyman Kurtz, President Rothman, Governor Evers, all those folks.
I think it's really, really well put together. And you talk about the history of the campus. You talk about what's next. And again, this is something I applaud the education subcommittee at the county board. I applaud the friends, because this isn't just a lot of grousing and a lot of wringing of hands and whining, if you could say that. I wouldn't say that, but some might. It isn't just complaining. You lay out from an economic standpoint, from a financial standpoint, why this would not make sense to close the campus. But then in this PowerPoint presentation, you offer ideas for the future. And talk a little bit about those, if you would, please.
Absolutely. Yeah, we think that, our niche is this rural location that we have. We've had a great international student program over the years. We've had a lot of local families serve as hosts to international students. Why is that good for Wisconsin? Because that brings in outside tuition that helps to basically subsidize the education of our local students here. They pay full tuition, whereas we don't pay full tuition if we send our kids there, if we go there ourselves. So we think that's another really good thing that, we want back. Platteville took that from us. The system took that from us. I realize a lot of this sounds like whining. And when I first started hearing this stuff, I agreed. I actually kind of felt like that, and I thought, is this really all true? And the more time I spent with these folks, I realized it was true. And it's got to be part of the story here. We lost 84% of our student enrollment, more than any other campus in the entire state. We have to explain to the public how that happened. It wasn't just because we're inadequate. We're rural. We're losing people. We don't want to send our kids to higher education. That's not the story. So that's why we're telling it, because we want the truth to get out there. I don't think those people in Platteville are bad people. I just think they have their own problems, and they saw us as a potential solution. They saw our students as a potential solution. They wanted our students to come to Platteville. And we need to work on lifting all of us up in this state. I think that's why our proposal is looking at how can we help Madison? How can we help the state? We want to be good partners. We want to work with the UW system to collaborate on a path going forward here.
I really love the positivity. I love the energy and the synergy of the friends group. I've seen a lot of emails going back and forth. There's a yard sign campaign. I mean, this really reminds me of a great political campaign with the amount of 1,500 signatures in under 2 weeks. 250 yard signs going up to save our campus in the community. Resolutions, PowerPoints, bringing people from both political parties together. I mean, this is phenomenal to do over the holidays and on extremely short notice. I think it goes to the spirit in the community.
That's right. We, I know you've talked about this on your program before, but a lot of us know your grandmother, Marge Wallace. She was the one who originally went to Madison in the 1960s when she found out that Richland was going to be losing their teachers' college when the state decided to start moving away from teachers' colleges. Well, the county owned that teachers' college, and she came up with the idea, I'm assuming working with a lot of people in the community, to get a campus here in Richland Center. And she went to those, from what I hear, to those Board of Regents meetings. She went to legislative offices, and she didn't leave until she got a chance to talk to everyone and make her case. And that's that spirit, that fighting spirit, whether you want to attribute it to your all's heritage or whatever it is, That's what we're carrying on, that legacy of her in this county. And it has spread to a lot of people, to these students, to community members, people on both sides of the aisle. So we are so excited to carry on her legacy. And if we can win this battle, I think she would have been proud, is what I hear. So
you're amazingly kind. And for those who don't know, I have talked about this before. I am not unbiased on this issue of the campus because I literally have spent time there since I was born. My maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, was one of the founders, was president of Richland County Teachers College, and then helped found the Richland campus. And yeah, I mean, this was an era when women were not allowed to be in the Board of Regents meeting unless they were secretaries. I mean, that's true. And she'd go to these meetings in Madison, and she'd stand outside the room, and she was 100% bohemian, and she had a pretty boisterous voice. And the men in the room would say, "Is that Marge Wallace out there?" They say, "Yeah," but they say, "Let her in," you know. And she, I mean, she had a spirit about her. You know, she'd say, "We have got to get this campus going." And I mean, that's just the way she would not take no for an answer. She was a woman of faith. She had strong faith. And she'd say, "It was me and God of the community." And she was very adamant about saying, "Look, this isn't just me." I mean, Rollin and Madeline McCauley, who they sold their farm, but in many ways gave it up for the land on which the campus was built. There were a lot of people in the downtown business community that put money in and put pledges up to start the campus. There were a number of faculty, the charter faculty, that helped us get going. And you know, I'm privileged enough to still have some of her papers and those days. And she was tremendously thankful for the spirit in the community. And I think what you're doing and what this group is doing, community is doing now, to me, that is the legacy of my grandmother. It's not so much what she did personally, although she did an awful lot. It is the spirit in which she passed on that lives now in each and every one of us. And you know, I think I can speak for her and say she would be enormously pleased and proud of what you're doing and what so many others like you on the campus foundation and the Friends of the Campus are doing. It's a community effort.
Well, Todd, I grew up with very strong female influences in my life. You know, grandmothers who had to be very strong in a rural area, and actually were probably the ones who were in charge in the end. And just reading through your grandmother's list of accomplishments, she was the first woman in Wisconsin to serve as a chief executive administrator of a UW campus. She was the dean of our campus. She was the first woman to receive the Kiwanis Man of the Year Award. And she was the 1976 Wisconsin State Journal leading woman in Wisconsin. So we don't want to lose that legacy of progressive female leadership in Richland County. We don't want to lose what she brought to our community.
Well, again, you're very kind. And again, I will speak for her and she'll be flattered. But I know she would say, "Don't you dare make it about me. Make it about this campus and make it about these kids." Because that's what she believed in. I mean, she literally put her blood, sweat, and tears into that campus because she believed in kids, and she truly embodied the Wisconsin idea, or thought the campus did, which is the boundaries of our state are the boundaries of our university. What is next? About 3 minutes left here, Sean. What is next now? The county board meeting tonight, and then where do you go from here?
Well, we're going to be lobbying our state elected officials. I'm just so inspired. Probably the biggest inspiration throughout this whole thing for me, and the most humbling thing, is to be working with the students. They are so much more courageous than I think most adults would be. Just getting in there and their honesty with, you know, they're telling us what this campus means to us, but they're also holding people accountable. And so I think we're going to be hearing more from the students. They've been leading on a lot of these interviews with TV stations, papers, and radio programs. I think we're going to be hearing a lot more from the students in the coming days. So stay tuned.
And county board meeting tonight, Richland County Board meeting at 7:00. People can watch online. Is that correct? If we want to do that,
that's just go to the Richland County website and pull up our agenda. There'll be a website, and it will tell you how you can join remotely. And then, of course, you can come in person. For local folks, it's at the Phoenix Center, which is the bowling alley.
have a pizza, get some bowling in, and go to the county board meeting. That's, see, you can't do that everywhere. I mean, only in Richland County can you get a pizza, a beverage, a bowling, and local government. That's what
we
I love.
We like to make democracy. We want to make democracy fun out here.
Democracy should be fun, right? You're absolutely right. Sean Murphy Lopez, I cannot thank you enough time, or thank you enough for carving out the time to come in today. You are welcome on this program anytime. Anything we can do to advance the cause of this campus or Richland County, you let us know. We're here for you.
It was an absolute honor to be here. Thank you, Todd.
Well, thank you very much. I'm pleased to have you. Sean Murphy Lopez, Vice Chair of the Richland County Board of Supervisors. We thank you very much. We're going to take a break and be back with more after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media. Read it up.
Sing a song, make a friend. Can't we all get along?
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9:33 on a Tuesday, the 13th of December, 2022. Weather forecast for today around the state. Richland Center, a high of 36 degrees and maybe some rain here and there. A little rain likely. Some gusty winds, 37 miles per hour. More rain tonight and tomorrow. All maybe mixed with snow here and there, but not much snow accumulation. Almost all rain in the Richland Center area. So some high winds, but other than that, mostly rain. Could be some locally heavy rains, up to 2 inches possible in the southern part of the state. North Wisconsin Dells, that's where this big storm system is going to hit the hardest, particularly in Wausau for our listeners there. And in Amory, high of 34 degrees in Wausau today. High winds, perhaps gusting at around 31 miles per hour. Tonight, snow showers mixed with freezing rain, a low of 29. And then Wednesday and Wednesday night, it's going to be anywhere from a tenth of an inch of ice, and then maybe 3 to 6 inches of snow possible, maybe more locally. Driving is going to be hazardous in the Wausau area tomorrow and tomorrow night. In Amory today, 34 degrees. Rain and snow likely today. Total daytime snow accumulations of a half an inch possible. Then for tonight, a low of around 32, maybe 1 to 3 inches of snow. Winds up to 40 miles per hour. And for tomorrow, Wednesday, a high near 36, and perhaps an additional inch of snow possible in Amory. So if you have to drive anywhere north Wisconsin Dells kind of into tonight, tomorrow night, just try not to. Do so with caution because it is going to be dicey at best. Sean Murphy Lopez, we thank him, the vice chair of the Richland County Board, for joining us over the past hour or so. What an interesting guy. I mean, just what a, you feel that passion. If you are watching on Facebook or Twitter, you can see it in his face. Energy, right? Positivity. Positive energy for a local community.
Absolutely. And not just positive energy, but it being channeled into what seems like exactly the right way to go about it.
Yeah. I mean, these are the leaders that we need in our community. These are the types of folks that we need to step up. And congratulations for Sean Murphy Lopez for being one of those people. And I'm just tremendously impressed with his attitude, with his energy, with his organization, going about this exactly the right way. And it'll be very interesting to see this resolution from the Subcommittee on Education passed unanimously on a 7-0 vote last night in Richland County and now going to the full Richland County Board tonight. And hopefully it passes. And this can be sent to State Senator Howard Markley, State Representative Tony Kurtz, Jay Rothman, UW Assistant President Tammy Avedovich, Interim Chancellor Platteville. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, Sean might be right. Maybe Howard and some of these people, maybe they don't know what's going on at Richland. I would be slightly surprised. But sure, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, because if you read this presentation put together by the Education Committee and Sean Murphy Lopez and others, it lays it all out. And if you didn't understand before, you will after seeing this. And then if they still decide to close the campus, then it's on them. So congratulations to Sean Murphy Lopez, the Richland County Board Education Subcommittee. I know Linda Gentis, I believe, is the chair of that committee, subcommittee. And also to the friends of the campus who are working extremely hard despite conditions that are less than ideal. hearing reports that Platteville is already making plans to basically assimilate the Richland campus, already looking at moving equipment out. I mean, the ink's not even dry on this plan. It's not even 100% guaranteed that it's going to go through. The locals haven't even had a chance to say. And already Platteville's looking to tear the place apart. But still, the locals will not be deterred. The folks at Richland Center will not be deterred. They are going to fight for this campus. And we will be right there with them, cheering them on, helping them out any way that we can. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on what Sean Murphy Lopez said on the campus in general? Give us a call. Aaron Zomers will take your call off the air, and he'll get you over to me ASAP. Give us a call. Get a pen and paper. I'll give you the digits. It's toll-free. Doesn't cost you a thing. Not a dime. When people say a penny for your thoughts, we don't even ask for a penny. Doesn't cost you a thing. Give us a call.
If I could give you a penny for your thoughts over the phone, I would. Alas, that is not possible.
Not possible. But it is possible to call us. Here's the number. Toll-free area code. 715 and then 388-7155. Again, give us a call toll free 715-388-7155. One more time for those that said, oh, I just got the pen. I couldn't find a pen. I wish you'd say it again. I'm going to say it again. Give us a call 715-388-7155. Give us a call. Tell us your thoughts on the Richland campus, on this county board situation, on shared revenue. What are your opinions? What are your thoughts? We want you to voice in, call in, give us your opinion. We'll be here all morning. Well, not all morning. We're here until 11 o'clock, and then it's As Goes Wisconsin. Well, beyond then, that goes until 2 at 2 o'clock on Bull Falls Radio. We have the Chad Holmes Show, so listen in at 2 o'clock on Bull Falls and Wausau for Chad Holmes. Be talking about local sports, local occurrences, local news, all good things. For the rest of the network at 2, you've got Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian from 2 until 3 at 3 o'clock. Then you've got the Matt Flynn program, Matt Flynn Direct, talking about all things across the state. A great perspective. We're going to have him on, actually. We talked to him this weekend. And Matt's going to join us here hopefully later this week or next, talking about the judicial races coming up this spring as we start focusing on that more. And then at 4 o'clock, of course, 4 until 6, the flagship program, Dueling Tangents. With See, something's affecting me, Aaron. Something is affecting me. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Dueling Tangents. I just promoted Luke and Brian to a five-hour show. Which they could do. They could do that. But no, it'll be Crudy and Dom on Devil's Advocate from 4 until 6. And then at 6 o'clock, Native Roots. And then we've got a Rick Smith Show into the evening. So a whole host of programs for you across the Civic Media Network. I want to get into a little bit. We talked about this at the top of the hour. There's breaking news today, sad news in the sports world. And talked about this when it broke earlier this morning. Mississippi State football coach Mike Leach has passed away at the age of 61. Mike Leach was hospitalized over the weekend, taken to an emergency room via ambulance. And reports are that he suffered a massive stroke at home. And last night passed away at the age of 61. Leach's family said in a statement released today by the school that Leach participated in organ donation at the University of Mississippi Medical Center, and it is his final act of charity. Says, we are supposed to uplift, or we are supported, rather, and uplifted by the outpouring of love and prayers from family, friends, Mississippi State University, and hospital staff and football fans around the world, Leach's family said. Thank you for sharing in the joy of our beloved husband and father's life. Leach suffered what the university initially described in a news release as a personal health issue at his home in Starkville on Sunday, which required him to be airlifted to the UMMC in Jacksonville, about 125 miles from Mississippi State. Leach is in his third season as Mississippi State's coach and had told ESPN after the regular season concluded that he struggled with pneumonia during the season, but was feeling better. He was at practice Saturday before suffering his health issue on Sunday. Quote, Mike Leach, Coach Mike Leach, cast a tremendous shadow not over just Mississippi State University, but over the entire football landscape. University President Mark E. Keenum said it is. His innovative air raid offense changed the game. Mike's keen, intelligent, and unvarnished candor made him one of the nation's true coaching legends. His passing brings great sadness to our university, to the Southeastern Conference, and to all who loved college football. I will miss Mike's profound curiosity, his honesty, and his wide-open approach to pursuing excellence in all things. Again, Mississippi State football coach Mike Leach passing away last night at the age of 61. I want to talk about Mike Leach a little bit just because, for a couple reasons. Number one, he was a very intelligent football coach and came up with this air raid offense. And that's important if you're a Wisconsin football fan because the new offensive coordinator for Wisconsin football is an acolyte, is a protege of Mike Leach and is bringing this air raid offense to Madison next year. So if this takes off and Wisconsin's offense is reborn with the air raid offense, we can thank Mike Leach for bringing that here. And so it has a direct connection, right, to us as Badger fans. That Mike Leach, and the air raid offense, for those who don't know, and I'm not going to say I'm an expert on it, but as I understand it, the air raid offense is built around throwing. Obviously, air raid, a lot of throwing. A quarterback that can scramble, but also there's a lot of no huddle involved in the air raid offense. So this is almost like you're in a consistent two-minute drill a lot of times. A no huddle offense where the quarterback gets to basically call the final play once he gets up to the line of scrimmage. And the idea is to wear out the defense on the other side so they're never really able to get set. And when they do that, so a lot of people say, well, there goes Wisconsin's running game. Running back, he was gone. But no, the tweak that Longo, the new coach, has made at North Carolina is you use the air raid and wear out the defense, which opens up holes then for your running backs to run the ball. So it's not all throwing. There's definitely running involved as well. But this is a unique idea first started by Coach Mike Leach. And so that's the direct connection if you want to know about football, why it's important in the college football world. But Mike Leach is also one of the most entertaining people in college sports. He's the type of guy that would just, on a whim, he reminds me in some ways, not directly, they're different people, he reminds me a lot of former Wisconsin men's head basketball coach Bo Ryan, who is someone I got to know very well during my time at Platteville when he was the head coach at Platteville. And I had to travel for the team with the team for 3 years. And Coach Ryan is a brilliant, he's still with us, thank goodness. Coach Ryan is a brilliant mind in basketball, but he's also one of the best storytellers that you've ever heard. He can tell a story better than anyone else I've ever heard in person, Bo Ryan. And Mike Leach was a lot like that. He had the ability to tell stories and to pull you in. And so when we come back, we're gonna talk about hear some of these stories from Coach Mike Leach. If you've ever seen him on TV or you have a memory of Coach Leach you'd like to share, give us a call and we can talk about that as well. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, the area code is 715-388-7155. Mike Leach, the kind of guy who is, you know, after a football game, and you ask him about candy corn or about what's the favorite Halloween candy, he'll give you a minute and a half response, and we're going to have that. Mike Leach, the kind of guy that at an impromptu press conference, you say, hey, coach, I'm getting married. Any advice? And he will go on for 8 to 10 minutes telling you about getting married. We'll have an abbreviated version of that when we come back as well. And the thing about Mike Leach is he's not just doing it like for the laughs, right? I mean, it's dramatically or hilariously funny, but like he's serious. Like Mike Leach would give these answers like if you would just be having a beer with him or in his office, he'd tell you this, right? He tells it that way to the press. Enormously talented person, enormously entertaining person. College football will not be the same without Coach Mike Leach, who passed away last night at the age of 61. We're going to take a break, be back with some Mike Leach comments, and hopefully your phone calls after this. You're listening to the Tom Walsh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tuesday, the 13th of December, 2022, on the Civic Media Radio Network, wherever you are listening to us at, whether it's WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, WXCE in Amory, or perhaps you're streaming us on the Civic Media app or wherever you get your streaming services from. We welcome you and welcome you in to join us here on a Tuesday. Before the break, talking about the passing, today, the announced passing last night of Mississippi State football coach Mike Leach at the age of 61 after suffering what has been reported as a massive stroke over the weekend. Talking about what a great, brilliant mind he is in creating the Air Raid offense, which is coming to Wisconsin next year. But also what a character he was. And so we're going to play, Aaron has a couple of these queued up for you. This was Coach Mike Leach a while back, one of his most famous quotes or takes, when this is, he was just standing like in a gaggle of press sports writers, and someone said, "Hey, Coach, I'm getting married." This is a guy. He said, "I'm getting married. I just got engaged. I'm getting married next year. Any advice?" And here's what Mike Leach said to the reporter when he said, "Do you have any advice about getting married?"
"The women lose their mind. Your fiancé's going to lose her mind. Your mother-in-law is going to lose her mind. Your mom is going to lose her mind. Several of your sisters and female relatives are going to lose their mind. And they're going to barrage you with constant questions. What should we wear?" And then, which of course my answer was, "I don't care." And then, "What color should the invitations be?" "I don't care." "What should we have for dessert?" "I don't care." "Should we seat this way or that way?" "I don't care." And, but see, "I don't care" is not satisfactory at all. And you're going to get caught in a catch-22, and I'm certain that you already have. And that catch-22 is, "Well, I want you to be a part of this too. So what color invitations?" "All right, the blue ones." "Well, I kind of like the tan ones." "Okay, the tan ones then." "Oh, you're just saying that because you want this over with. You're not even thinking about it," which is, of course, true. "What do you want for dessert?" "I was thinking of strawberry shortcake." "Oh, okay. Yeah, strawberry shortcake would be good." "Well, what about the blueberry pie?" "Well, I like the blueberry pie. We could have the blueberry pie." "Well, I thought you said you wanted the strawberry shortcake." And it's just going to go back and forth. And they're going to play keep from you until after you're married. There's no answer you can give that is going to be satisfactory or correct. And if you successfully please a few of them, the others will still be, "Oh, well, I just don't feel like he's that interested." "Yeah, okay, so you need to work late. Go in the back room and read a lot of books. Take the groomsmen out so you make sure that they march in just right and they know exactly, you know, these swell outfits that you picked out or whatever, however you're doing it. And in the end, you'll wish you elope. You need to find excuses that they'll buy to be as far out of harm's way as you possibly can."
My favorite parts of that are the little, like, extra throwaway sentences at the end where he'll be like, "And you wish you eloped," just goes on, keeps talking. Or which is, of course, true. That's one of my favorite ones.
It's fantastic. For those just joining in, you're like, what is he talking about? This is Coach Mike Leach, Mississippi State football coach, who passed away last night at the age of 61 after what's being reported as a massive stroke over the weekend. And Aaron's right. And that, by the way, folks, was an abbreviate. That was an edited version of this answer that he gave to reporters when a reporter just nonchalantly said, "Hey, coach, I'm getting married soon. Any advice?" And Leach just off the cuff takes this seriously and gives him this. And I've heard him tell other reporters that other reporters heard this, and so they tried to replicate it when they were getting married. And his first advice is elope. Just elope. Because you don't want to be involved in all this wedding stuff. Just an absolute character and an absolute hilarious guy. The next cut we have, this was a game, I believe this season or last, where it was the game before Halloween. And they asked him what his favorite Halloween candy was. And here's what Mike Leach had to say.
We talked about on the broadcast how you hate candy corn. What's your favorite Halloween
candy? Candy corn. I mean, I completely hate candy corn. When I was a kid, well, gummy bears, let's see. Gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box. Outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, you know, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
The gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then if you go chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
Love it. Hopefully you'll get some of that next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
That is Coach Mike Leach, Mississippi State football coach, passed away last night at the age of 61, remembering him today. And again, just, you know, off the cuff, after a football game, you know, he's willing to stand there and take it seriously. A guy who makes millions of dollars and he's going to the dollar store to get his favorite Halloween candy. I just think that's fantastic. That's the kind of guy Mike Leach was, right? Just all in on life. And I think that's the takeaway that I think of when I think of Mike Leach. I mean, he was a guy who was obsessed with pirates. Had a pirate in his office, like a pirate mannequin. Started at Texas Tech, went to Washington State. There's a clip, maybe we can find it next hour, Aaron, if we have time, where he's talking about when he was at Washington State, the Pac-12, who would be the most formidable mascot. And he stood there off the cuff and went through every mascot in the Big 12 thinking about who would be the strongest mascot, who would have the most power. It was amazing. And so this is a guy, my takeaway from Mike Leach, is a guy who just loved life, right? He was a football coach, a brilliant mind in football, inspired people, and yeah, was absolutely quirky and unique. But he embraced it, and he embraced life. And he wasn't going to let 1 minute go by. If someone asked him a question about Halloween candy, he was going to stand there, darn it, and talk about it. And talk about it seriously. So, 61, much too young to pass away. Mike Leach, Mississippi State football coach. But what a tremendous individual. A tremendous inspirer. And now as Phil Longo brings his air raid offense to Wisconsin next year, Phil Longo was an acolyte, an apprentice to Mike Leach. And so we think about him today. The family of Mike Leach, we wish them our thoughts and prayers. Back after this on the Tom Wall Show for hour number 3. You're listening to Civic Media.